Welcome to Just Breathe, Parenting Your LGBTQ Teen, the podcast transforming the conversation around loving and raising an LGBTQ child. My name is Heather Hester, and I am so grateful you are here. I want you to take a deep breath and know that for the time we are together, you are in the safety of the Just Breathe nest. Whether today's show is an amazing guest or me sharing stories, resources, strategies, or lessons I've learned along our journey, I want you to feel like we're just hanging out at a coffee shop having a cozy chat. Most of all, I want you to remember that wherever you are on this journey, right now, in this moment in time, you are not alone. Have you ever wished you could just bottle up this podcast and be able to reference your favorite nuggets whenever you need them? That's exactly why I wrote Parenting with Pride. It's filled with all of the stories, tools, and wisdom of Just Breathe, plus so much more. I cannot wait to get this book to you, and it will be available to ship on May 14th. But you can pre-order it now on your favorite online bookstore or click the link in the show notes. If you have a favorite independent bookstore nearby, ask them to order it. It is perfect for their Pride Month campaign. As much as I love bringing you this podcast, this book, Parenting with Pride, Unlearn Bias and Embrace, Empower and Love Your LGBTQ Teen is next level. Part instruction manual, heart warm hug. It is what every parent, ally, and open-minded, curious listener needs. Order it today. Welcome back to Just Breathe. I am so happy you all are here. Today's episode is an episode that you all have been waiting for, and it's been quite some time. I don't think the two of you have ever been on the show together. The anniversary episode.
Yeah, right, right.
Oh my gosh, I forgot about that. Yes.
Characters.
Today we you all get the pleasure and the fun of having Connor and Gray on the show, asking me questions, me asking them questions, and just talking about all things the book, our journey, where they are today, their view of their future now as opposed to 10 years ago, all these good things. So without further rambling from me, let's get into it. So thank you, you guys, for making time to be with me today.
It's a pleasure and a privilege. I mean, I guess started off with the kind of on the nose one, but it's like now that we're finally, after many years, at the point of the book almost being released, or maybe it'll be released by the time this is out. But what's the most poignant, what's your take at this point of the whole experience of the book journey, and how do you feel now? And perhaps the biggest takeaway you had from this experience. I know that's like three questions, but just the general vibe of where you're at right now with the book.
Oh my gosh. With the book specifically, in this exact moment in time, I am panicked. That's like my total 100% honest answer. I'm excited, and I literally 100 times a day I have to remind myself to enjoy this, because it's been so much work and so much just everything. And so now that I'm in the, you know, final weeks before it launches into the world, just wanting to make sure that, you know, I cross all the T's and dot all the I's and do the things to make the launch successful. And then beyond that, I'm really grateful. I'm grateful that we're
you know, the six of us are together and, you know, who we are and have this incredible bond that allowed me to write this book, because it's, you know, like this podcast, it's pretty vulnerable at times. And it was, I think, you know, in writing the actual writing of the book and kind of going back through some of our stories was a little bit like reliving some of those things, which is kind of weird because reliving, but yet from a little bit of a different perspective or greater wisdom or something like that. I think it just gave you a totally circular answer to that question.
Very circular question. That's okay.
No.
I think just good to see where you're at right now with it. So obviously it's, it's right before.
Right. It would be so interesting to ask me the same question in like 6 weeks and see if I've like come, you know, like.
Right.
Right now, I feel like I'm like spinning and.
Still a lot of unknowns.
There's so many unknowns. And I just want this, you know, to get into the hands of all the people who really need it and just to be out there. So, yeah.
We'll ask you the follow-up question at the book launch.
There you go. That can be you can be the plant and you can ask. Yeah.
No one will recognize you as.
Oh, not at all.
Who is that person asking that question?
Love it.
So, how do you both feel about me writing this book? And it's too late to say you don't want me to write. I mean, just so everyone out there knows, I did ask this question before. Like, I didn't write this without permission, but.
Right.
Now that we're here and you've given your permission, are you like, how are you feeling?
Do you want to answer first?
Sure. I mean, I feel excited for you. I mean, I think it's something, you know, we've gotten to see you get excited and, you know, go through the motions of writing a book. And I'm excited for people to be able to read it. I'm proud of you. I mean, I haven't read it yet. We have the books, but I haven't read it. I'll get on that. But I mean, I'm obviously not in it as much as Connor is, but there's nothing I'm not like, nothing I'm afraid of sharing, I guess. I'm hopeful that, you know, whatever is in the book is helpful to people.
Good answer. Yeah, no, I agree on that first part. I think, you know, obviously, of course, you know, we were more than okay with our stories being shared and that it, you know, reaches the right people. I think there's always that now that it's at the point of like almost releasing, there is definitely still a part of me that I know I'd mentioned this to you at one point, Mom, but like, you know, just hoping that it reaches the right crowd. This is different than the internet, but like as things on the internet tend to do, they'll, you know, start in like a queer space and then they'll reach broader society. And that's where things, you know, there tends to be maybe a little more controversy. And so I'm not that, you know, book sales operate in the same way as the internet, but there's obviously that level of maybe not concern, but, you know, just kind of curious to see how things play out in that regard. But no, I mean, I think it's cool. I think, I mean, I'll speak from like personal experience, actually, like this weekend, it kind of reached like, it's reached a kind of weird meta level of like, you know, I kind of forgot that, like, you know, I had that this aspect of my life has been shared, you know, as a part of the book, but also the podcast and all of that. And obviously no issue with it, but I was actually a part of a gay volleyball league. And so after one of the games, I was at like a happy hour and one of the guys who I'm like sort of friends with, but I had posted like a year ago when we had done the podcast together, we'd done an episode together and I'd posted that, like just like a link to it on my story on Instagram. And I guess he had checked it out and, you know, listened through, which was like really sweet. And so like, he had like come up and just like started talking to me about like, you know, I won't air out our conversation, but, you know, Josh, if you're listening, hey, but it was very sweet because, you know, he had said, like, you know, it's very inspiring to hear that, like, you, Mom, were able to kind of embrace us and be able to make such a, you know, distinct change in your life, or like just in the way that you parent and the way that you, you know, kind of view things. And I know that's been, you know, continually been a part of your journey, but just like, see, he had said that I was, you know, just inspiring to see that as a tangible story. So my chance to give a roundabout answer, but just like, it, yeah, just very interesting how not only the story itself has evolved, but like just kind of the reception to it and the impact that it's had and the reach that it's had, which, you know, I'm sure will only be magnified by the book. So yeah, it's cool.
So sweet. I love that point, because I think that and it's something that I've been like recognizing in recent weeks, and I think that's part of my like anxiety about the, you know, it actually is. There's one thing about doing a podcast, right? Because we're all here talking like this. So at maximum, there's like this interaction, right, with another human being. And then I put it out into the world and that's out in the world. And, you know, occasionally I'll get stuff that's like, you know, how people can be. But for the most part, I'm, you know, if people are reaching out to me, it's people who are kind and grateful and beautiful, right? And, but writing a book and putting a book out in the world or it's like 1,000 times more visible. And I think that's what I've just like put my finger on. I'm like, oh, this is what it is, because I, you know, my whole life have like worked very hard to be as not visible as possible for multiple reasons. And just in recent years, I've been like slowly, ever so slowly, more comfortable with being visible and talking about hard things. And, but this is like times 1,000.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that is like, I put my finger on that's where, where the anxiety, a lot of the anxiety is coming from is like, oh, wow. Like, once this is out there, it's out there. Like there's no take backs.
Right.
And then I also have to like, you know, that's being very self-centered too. This is not about me. So, you know, I guess it's about like this conversation right here is about our experience, each of our experience in this, but the bigger picture is so worth it. Right. Like for me, it's like I will take whatever comes at me if it means that it helps people. Right.
Yeah. 100%.
Yeah. So thank you for coming along on that ride with me there.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think, yeah. Another easy question that there we could each speak on is just like from the beginning, I guess, of, because I guess the podcast came before the planning of the book, or did the planning of the book come before the podcast?
I'm trying to remember. I think that the planning of the book, I wrote the book proposal, I think I was in the midst of writing the book proposal when I started the podcast. Yeah, I think that's how it worked. And then that got shelved because of the pandemic.
Right.
So then I was doing the podcast for like a year and a half or 2 years. And that's when I got the contract for the book.
That's right. Okay. Well, anyway, at the beginning of this project, we'll say, you know, to now, I guess, what have you noticed, you know, in yourself or in our family dynamic, or, you know, even more broadly, what if, you know, this is like the biggest shift, the biggest change between us, whatever. And Grace, this goes for you too. So yeah.
Do you have an answer? Because I have to.
I was going to wait for you to respond.
I mean, a number of things That's such a great question. Bravo. As I've been reading the book for Audible, there have been a couple of times that I've like read through things and I've been like, oh, we've actually like grown from there. So not that like anything I've read have I been like, oh, well, that's completely false now. It's been more like, well, that was definitely a place where we were, or I was, or you were, or dad, or, you know, whomever I was talking about. And now we've evolved to the next point. So I think that would be, I mean, one of the big, for me personally, I will say that where I've seen that the most, and this is, again, my like personal journey around spirituality and religion. So I've had to, there's been a lot that I have like worked through, let go of, deconstructed, tried to figure, you know, actively working on figuring out what it all means to me, you know, where I am with that. So I think that's a place that I'm still very much like, was very interesting for me to look back and see kind of how that's evolved and still is evolving actively. So
totally. I love that. I think that's excellent.
Yeah. I mean, for me, I guess one of the bigger things that I've noticed would probably be communication, you know, between us all. I mean, from start to finish with this whole process, it's been in a pretty like integral time in my life, like going middle school to now I'm graduating high school, and just, you know, watching kind of how all of us experience each of those and how this process has affected that. But, you know, as a family, I feel like we talk so much. I don't know, like in comparison to a lot of my friends, I know, you know, we have family dinner every night and we talk. And I know like you and Connor are calling, they have like, you talk each like once a week, and you catch up with Isabel at least once a week. And I think that's so special. And I think it's something really important that, you know, 6 years ago, we didn't have that level of communication with each other. And I think that's just been something really important that we've grown into.
And do you think that's like the connection that we have, or the growth as human beings, or like the ages that you all were then as opposed to now? Because you, I mean, so let's say 7 years ago, I mean, Connor, you were Rowan's age 7 years ago, which is so weird to think about, right? Like, so that's like, that's the oldest, and Rowan was 9. Mm-hmm. So communicating to those ages is a lot, or communicating with those ages of kids is a lot different than communicating with, you know, between 16 and 23, almost 24. Do you think that is it? Or do you think there's, because I know what you're saying. Mm-hmm.
I think it's a lot more about, you know, who we are as people and how we've all, you know, grown it. Because things that have like we've gone through as a family could have very well, you know, taken, like made us grown apart. You know, we didn't have to then grow back together. Cause I feel like there were periods of time where we, like, there was not a lot of connection. Like, we were all struggling with different things and we were very far apart for a period of time. Like, we were all focused on very different things. And it took a while to kind of like, we all came to terms with, you know, stuff. And a lot of it, I think, was COVID. We were forced to be together and we kind of were able to, I guess, kick back, like start that communication going again and have the ability, like, because, yeah, our ages are different, but like, the people we were years ago, like Connor and Isabel going to college, I feel like those people wouldn't keep up the communication, you know?
Mm. Yeah.
So I think it's just something every day when I talk to people and, you know, we each talk about our families or whatever, I'm proud and glad to say that, like, we do have a strong connection and we talk a lot to each other.
Do you think it's because we've made it a priority or because we have, like, because we have gone through some things together as a family that have just brought us closer, or that we've each done like such intensive individual work that we've like that's brought us together? Like, do you think it's like all of those things or one guiding thing?
I think it's definitely a mix of it all. And I think so much of it really did come from, like, I don't think I've ever said I'm grateful for COVID, but I'm grateful for that time that we were forced, like, to be together.
It's a good silver lining.
Yeah. because it gave us, like, we had all gotten a lot of set, like, time apart. Mm-hmm. Connor, you were in your freshman year of college. Like, we each kind of took a step back from a lot of things and had that time to, you know, deal with whatever we wanted on our own. And then we were put back together. And I think that's kind of what helped.
Mm. Yeah. Do you have any thoughts on that?
No, I mean, I think Grace hit the nail on the head. You know, I don't think it's one specific thing that, you know, led to the dynamic that we have today. I think it really is, yeah, just a lot of little things, little factors. COVID absolutely was a big part of it. I mean, but yeah, no, I mean, it was kind of, I guess, reflecting on a similar thing, and just that, you know, since I've been in New York and, you know, meeting new people and talking about, you know, your family life and all that, it's definitely something that over time I've come to appreciate more and more. Yeah, the same thing, that it's like, you know, the dynamic that we have, the relationships that we have are not the norm. And, you know, I think especially, you know, in the bubble that we grew up in, that you guys, you know, currently reside in, there is kind of a, even though Grace, you said, like, you know, there's still, like, it's clear that, like, the dynamic isn't the same. There's still kind of a general, I don't know what the word would be. It seems like everything's fine and everyone kind of has a good, you know, situation. But then kind of like, you know, just meeting more people where that, like, was not the case, where there was kind of a more, there wasn't as much acceptance in their coming out or, you know, whatever it may be. You know, I've just come to appreciate that, yeah, you know, we are very lucky. I am very lucky that we are all still so close, and that, you know, Mom, you had touched on the aspect of evolving. And I think that that's something that also holds true, is that, you know, everyone has been very willing to grow and change. Well, yeah, everyone has been willing to grow and change at their own pace, for sure. But, you know, we are all, yeah, growing and continuing to examine our own patterns. And obviously, you know, therapy is a big part of that, at least for me. Mm-hmm. Having that, you know, consistent piece of examining yourself. Yeah, you know, I think, but obviously, yeah, yeah. So, but I think you guys already kind of touched on the general differences between then and now. So, yeah.
Yeah. I love that. I think part of it too is like becoming aware, not only of like who we each are as people, the greater world and what's going on, and like really understanding and learning to be, to like ask questions and be curious about things instead of just to be like stuck in like this is how it is. This is what I know. And I'm staying right here because this is safe. And I think that's where I, at least me personally, lived for a very long time. And even though it's much scarier out here in the wild, it's way more interesting and like real. And I just think it is such a, it's such a gift.
Well, definitely.
And, right. I mean, and I think for people who are like afraid that they're too old or that things have to be a certain way, to like just take that, you know, take a chance to realize, or to, you know what I mean? To like, I'm not being a very articulate, I apologize.
I was going to touch on this. It's just that, like, you know, obviously very, you know, without sounding patronizing, like, you know, proud of you for the journey that you've taken specifically in the like deconstruction of spirituality in your faith, because I think that's a big part of it too, is the neuroplasticity in that regard, because, you know, your willingness to examine those things and your willingness to see that, like, okay, well, like that worked for me at a period of time, but maybe that doesn't fit that well anymore. And actually making that change and actually following that, moving towards that change versus being afraid of it. And I think that's obviously, you know, this is not shocking for me to say, but, you know, a lot of people are stuck in that. And that's obviously like, you know, that's the whole spiel with religion, namely Christianity, like, is that, you know, you don't question that, you just follow it blindly. And that thinking obviously then bleeds into every other aspect of your life. And that is why, not singularly, but like that's part of why, you know, people aren't willing to accept, you know, queer people in their life, for lack of better wording. Like, you know, and I think that is kind of the common thread when, you know, I hear from people who have accepting family members who, you know, even if they're from, you know, typically the Midwest, there's a level of like, oh yeah, you know, my parents used to be super religious, but like now they've come around, or now they're, you know, coming around. And I think that's kind of the, all you can really hope for. But yeah, it's the kind of the deconstruction and the willingness to examine yourself and move towards the discomfort and all that.
Yes.
I mean, I'd just like to give like kudos to you, because not only are you willing to, you know, try and relearn what works for you, you have created a space where it's like, this is what I believe, and I'm learning that I believe and what I, you know, want to follow, but you can do whatever you'd like. You know, we grew up going to church, but at a certain point, like, it stopped working for our family. So it was like, okay, we don't have to go. And letting us figure out what we believe in and what we want to follow and think, you've left like such a space, you know, where it's like, we have a lot of conversations about religion, and you let me talk it out, and you let me, you know, ask questions and figure it out. And it's just, I mean, I think that's really impressive that you know what you believe in, and you're willing to have conversations about what other people believe in, and you want other people to believe in other things than you do.
Mm. Wow. Thank you.
Well said.
That is very well said. They have two very well-spoken kids. While I sit here and I can't put a sentence together, which you two know why, but I still am like feeling a little like goofy today. So my apologies, everyone. Thank you. I'm so glad you said that. I'm both of you. Like, I'm really touched, and like, certainly not why I wanted you both to go on today and talk about the book and everything else, but that's really, I think I'm particularly moved by both of these thoughts and perspectives, because one of the things that it's so funny because I hear this in my head, like when you said it just like went through my head again, even though I know it's completely like unequivocally false, but letting you, you know, figure out what you believe, like, is such something that I was, you know, always heard growing up and taught that, you know, those people that let their kids think whatever they want to think and believe whatever they want to believe, like, those are bad people. They're blah, 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 you know, bad parents. And I still like hear that. And then I have to like, literally, like, there's like such a level of like awareness and conscious, like, nope, that's old stuff. Like, that is totally old. That is totally false. It's part of, it's my old story that's like creeping in and being a pain, and it needs to just, whoosh. And at some point it's, you know, that it's going to become more and more quiet. But just, I say that out loud because I want people, you know, listening to know that it's not like one day you wake up and you decide to make, you know, some, to evolve, and that you just evolve and all the other stuff just never comes up again, because it does forever and ever till the end of time. It just becomes less loud and less believable and, you know, at times comedic. And
life becomes a lot more fun when you're willing to make those changes. I mean, you know, you look at what our family Christmas looks like versus the one in Ohio, and it's pretty staunch difference. So I think that,
well, I think, isn't it like, this is what I think it is. Like, when we decided, like, what is going to be like the guiding feeling? Like, are we going to be guided by like love and joy and like the delight of being around each other and like on all the things that we say and do, which are, we know are not a normal family? Or are we going to be like, fearful and judgy and rigid? And that is just no fun.
It's true. It's very true.
So yeah. I'm super, super happy that you all were like, this is who I am. And it was kind of the unstated, like, here I am. You have some choices to make.
Yeah. So,
yeah. Right? And bravo to you. I mean, you never said that, but it was like, now that I look back and I think, oh my gosh, like the, you know, how you're like, you're just moved in the ways you're supposed to be moved in when you're like really paying attention to who you authentically are and who your people authentically are. I feel like we were all kind of like spiritually connected and rode this like crazy, you know, all of our crazy waves, but like did the work that we needed to do. And but that started, yeah, you're the first domino. Way to go.
Right. Well, yeah, and that like aspect too is, I just thinking about that like recently, just that, like, you know, that change probably wouldn't have happened had I kind of just remained at home and on that track that I was on. Like, I think there was an immense amount of validity to the 7 months I had spent on my own. It really did allow for that kind of initial, like, take a step back and examine what do I actually believe versus what kind of has been not told, but like taught and held up as a model, an example. And obviously it's not just like what you and dad, but just in general, what
society,
the culture was, the society, the specific bubble that we lived in, that, yeah, you know, kind of allowed for the first, maybe not first, but ushered in kind of an era of everyone starting to take a step back and re-examine. Obviously, I think, you know, for Grace and Rowan and Isabel, specifically Rowan's doing his own thing, but you know, for you too, it was, you know, but especially once you hit kind of the middle to end of high school, where it really became like, that's kind of when it happens, that like those changes really happened for you, which is just cool. It's cool to see. So
it is cool. Yeah. And to your point, I think that is so, you know, at the time it was like, it was not even a question. Like once we realized like, oh, like this is like a major bona fide crisis and we have to do something major, and like sticking with you being away, even though you were so mad and didn't talk to me, and multiple people were like, your relationship's never going to be the same with him. He's not going to talk to you anymore. You know, all the things that we were told over time by different therapists that were, you know, there and professionals and blah, 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 blah. And for us to be like, no, these are, you know, he's our kid and we're going to figure this out. And I mean, overall, that was the most positive thing we could have done, right? For all the reasons that weren't necessarily like what you were getting on a day-to-day basis there, but exactly. Like the lessons that you learned over time about who you inherently are and how you wanted to show up in the world. So, and I think then that helped, you know, with just being able to communicate at home and offer more space to you guys. And, you know, even when you were like really mad about us not telling you.
Different yeah. time.
Yeah. It's okay. You were allowed to be.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. So love yeah. it.
I know. All right. Is there anything else that we want to chit chat about the book or anything else surrounding it?
We're back to Grace's list real quick.
I know. Thanks to Grace, we have lots of interesting questions and topics. Thank you.
I did want to throw out, you know, kind of talking on this past topic, how grateful I am of Connor. And, you know, just I think I've modeled and will probably continue to model so much around of my life around you. But I recently, you know, was trying to write a commencement speech for my graduation. And, you know, I'd mentioned you in it and how so much of like who I am today and how I've grown to who I am is because of you. And I mean it wholeheartedly, because I mean, the day you came out to us was the day I was like, what is gay? I don't know. And that kind of, it spiraled to where I am now. You introduced mental health for me, and, you know, I wouldn't, you know, be as happy as I were. You know, you dyed your hair first, you got piercings, you got tattoos. I just, so much of who I am is because of you. And yeah.
Thank you, Grace. That's very sweet. And I mean, you know, on the flip side of that, I think it has been very rewarding. I don't know if that, yeah, rewarding to see you grow into the little gay that you are today. And, you know, really getting to start. I mean, you know, obviously you've had your own struggles and everyone does, but I think it feels good to know that maybe I got some of the, you know, rockier part of the experience out of the way so that you were able to start at a little higher up, not a little, but, you know, a little, for you didn't have to deal with the same stuff. So now you are much further along in your identity and your sense of self. By the time you're, you know, heading off to college, I think it took me quite a couple more years to be at that point. So I think it's very inspiring. You know, I think I'm definitely inspired by your journey as well. And that's not just, you know, me returning a compliment, but like really, truly, I think it's very cool to see. And, you know, it's something that I'm proud of. And I think, you know, just to be able to like tell people that's like, yeah, you know, I started the trend, but, you know, you certainly match the energy. And I think that's very special. And obviously, you know, mom and dad are a big part of that as well, for, you know, holding space and supporting that and, you know, really allowing us to explore in our identity. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's really cool because, again, that's not the norm. So should be, and hopefully we'll continue to move in that direction. It will move in that direction, but, you know,
well, that's a big part, I think, of why I wanted to write this book. I mean, it's not just about like, here's what you do when your kid says they're gay. Like, so much more of it. And it's interesting because one of the first reviews that I got on NetGalley was somebody who had read it, like a professional reviewer who knew those existed, but they do. And this person read it and they were wanting like very specific information about what to say to somebody when they come out as gay, which the book does not have. FYI, anybody looking for that? I mean, other than tell your kid that you love them for who they are right now in this moment in time. I mean, I'm not going to hold your hand in that way. I will hold your hand in like a million other ways in this book, but it's around like the work that each of us needs to do. And like learning to hold that space, learning to, you know, how do you do that? Like, how do you sit with things that are uncomfortable? What does that feel like? And how do you do that? So kind of approaching topics that are a little more abstract, and but also topics that can be used in so many different ways, right? Just to become better human beings and hopefully create just a better world.
Does the thought of using pronouns respectfully or understanding certain terms in conversation make your palms sweat a little? No one likes that deer in headlights moment. So many of you have emailed me with questions on this topic, so I thought I'd put together a free guide so you can have all of this info just a click away. Pronouns Made Easy covers pronouns, of course, but also includes information on some of the most common confusing words and concepts, as well as a list of timely resources. Who can say no to a free lifeline, right? Just click on the link in the show notes or on the gorgeous graphic on the Chrysalis Mama homepage, and a free copy of Pronouns Made Easy and a huge sigh of relief will land in your inbox. Thanks so much for joining me today. If you enjoyed today's episode, I would be so grateful for a rating or a review. Click on the link in the show notes or go to my website, chrysalismama.com, to stay up to date on my latest resources, as well as to learn how you can work with me. Please share this podcast with anyone who needs to know that they are not alone, and remember to just breathe. Until next time.